This is the second tape of selections from the Prescott Workshop, August 15th, 1987.
I tell you, it's delightful to have both going on concurrently. I love my state of consciousness. It's exciting, it's interesting, sometimes it's a little dark, but by and large, I'm doing all right. And I'm, at the same time, totally aware that something magic is tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day. You understand? It's that knowing that all there's more and more and more ever-increasing wonder. Now, how do I know this? Because I have, in my knowing of what I know there are vast reaches of consciousness waiting out there. And it's the greatest delight in my being to know that as I move, whoever I am, through all of this, it's going to get vaster and deeper and stronger and higher. This is where it is now. Delight in what you are now, and at the same time, rejoice that it's going to be deeper and fuller and broader and more wonderful. Do you see? But if you don't go and know that this is it, that this is the relaxation in the totality of the this, it's in this moment that you rejoice and are grateful and feel the wonder, which then brings about the next moment of wonder, and then the next one, and then the next one. Do you see? So it's that kind of sense. So, the best way, total gratitude for now, and total delight that it's going to deepen. If you don't think it's going to deepen and broaden, then you get stuck in a relatively small box, which is not what you want. She asks how to find her profession, her place, the place where she would feel most complete, and is wondering whether it's her will versus God's will. Well, first of all, I'd like to start at the end and clarify something. There are no two wills. Let's go back to the two wheels. Let's not talk about wills, the two wheels. There is the wheel of your own choice that goes around your job. Do you think God cares if you are a brain surgeon or a garbage collector? You know, God doesn't care. But I will tell you something. Whatever you choose to be, if you allow it, which is the vast, to bring God in, God will use the garbage collection and the brain surgery to the same maximum degree. What you do is of absolutely no concern. The divine will use anything you create. So let's clear that up, all right? So there's only your will, and God will use whatever is available. All right, now, how, I think the question has to be opened up. How does any human being, when they find their life, in quotes, not working, which happens in many times at different stages, it's working and then suddenly it's not working. How does the human consciousness have that work? Now, without getting too on either side of this, let's stay to the point of there is within every human being a knowing of the things that they would really most like to do, but when they are in a state of being stuck, they are cut off from it. It's as if, you know, the donkey and the apple or whatever, that there's wonderful vista out there and you're on this side and there's this fog. And you know that there's something on the other side that would be a lot more fun, a lot more inspiring, a lot more whatever, and here you are, and there's this fog. You walk around, you say, I don't know, I don't know. Well, rule number one, don't ask anybody else, because they have their own fog, and they see it through, you see. I mean, they can give you suggestions, but in the end, it's the fog that has to be dispensed. You see, truth is that there is in everyone's life certain things that would delight them much more than others. Now, how to get in touch with this? The reason most people don't do this is they have not been trained to believe and to know deeply within themselves that they are the way to their own truth and their own light. Number one, they have not been trained that way. So now you have to train yourself to keep asking again and again, over and over and over and over again, the essential question, what do I want? When you say you can't make anything manifest, it's because you don't want it that much. You see, if someone really wants something to manifest, unless there's a karmic obstacle, For example, some people want to have children, and they find that they cannot. Well, often that's a karmic obstacle, all right? But there are ways around that, obviously. But anytime you, if something is not coming deeply in, it means that you haven't gotten your whole being behind it. That means that the whole force of who you are hasn't said, this is what I want. Now, how do you find out what you want? And this is the laborious part. You have to go back and start opening up that box within you of all of the hidden treasures that you've placed there since you were very young. The hidden treasures of the things that you wanted to do and weren't allowed to do, the discouragement committee that said you can't do them, oh, we've never done that, oh, girls have never done that, no one in our family has ever done this, you know, whatever it might be, all the discouragement that comes from all of the world, teachers, friends, whatever. But there's a wonderful, you know, there's a treasure box within each one of you, and it contains all of the things that would most delight you should you be able to pull them out and make use of them. So number one, a few times, truly, every day for at least some length of time, to sit down and address on paper, what do I want? Not what do I think I should, not what do I hope, but what do I really want? And when you start getting in touch with that deeply, deeply, what you're doing is immersing your consciousness with a whole other tone, a tone that says, this is what we want, this. And it sends out a tone in the being, and around you, you set up a magnetic field that starts bringing things to you. Now, there will be people in this room that say, now look, I have set up a thought that I wanted money, and the money hasn't come. Now, why is that? Does that relate to anybody in this room at all? All right, so let's address that, because it's the same as money as with a fulfilling job. Will you keep it in that context? Money and a fulfilling job, a sense of being in a job that's dynamic, creative, and worthy of your consciousness. All right, that's what you're looking for. Now, what happens between the thought of the money and the manifestation of the money is that in between, things fall through the cracks because you do not sit down, as we tried to do this morning, and get the feeling in your body of the feeling of that energy. It's a thought. And in your thought, riding right next... Are you listening to me, Mr. Higgins? Mm-hmm. Riding right next to that thought of, I know I'm worthy of making this amount of money. I know I'm worthy of having it. Right next rides a thought, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. You understand? It's a thought. Your thoughts countermand each other. Your feeling tone will not. Do you understand the difference? There is a feeling of success, of power, of knowing, of creation, of expansion. It's a feeling. And it rides in you. And you all have it. Because you all have been successful in many lifetimes. It's not new. It's a feeling. And when that feeling rises up and you identify it and know it, there's nothing that conflicts with it. Do you see? Now, in the mind, it's there. You are constantly crossing out your own thoughts. Did you know that? You know you have a thought, yes, I can do it. And then without you even being conscious, this other one says, oh, no, you can't. You know, it's your mother or your grandfather, somebody's, oh, no, you can't, coming right up. So in the realm of thought, you can get lost in all the trees. But when you get to the world, the realm of feeling, of claiming the feeling of what an extended, creating, successful consciousness feels like, we're talking about that smaller world of creating your reality now, Bob. You're right in that realm. Right in that moment of creating that feeling, this is the realm, you know it, and nobody can fool you. You will feel it. And that is what then you project into the next moment, into the next moment. It's a feeling, a deep, abiding feeling, tonal quality that knows what powerful, success, dynamic, alive life is like. And when you fill your being with that moment after moment, the bell goes out, and then you draw exactly what? When you work in the realm of mind, my friends, you can jeopardize, you can cross yourself out countlessly. Yes, I'm worthy of love. Oh, I don't really think so. Endlessly. So it's not in the realm of the mind. It's in the realm of the feeling tone, those vast feeling tones. So, number one, find out what it is you really want and identify the feeling that you want. You see, it's not a job you want, any of you. It's not a certain job. It's not a certain amount of money. It's not a certain amount of prestige. What you want is a feeling inside of you. You know, you can have the most humble of jobs, and if it delights you, you're filled with the abundance of being in the perfect place and filled with wonder. And you can be, here I go again, president of IBM. Someday I'm going to meet the president of IBM and probably going to scold me, but here you are, the president of IBM, filled with all of the so-called successes, and yet have a very lacking sense of that wonderful fulfillment of beingness. You see? It's a sense of being that you want. It's not a job. But the job comes. I'm saying we've got the cart before the horse. You get the feeling going, the wonder, the delight, the knowing of what it feels like, and then lo and behold, down the road, here it comes. Put the emphasis on creating the feeling tone alive and well in you, and I promise you it will match. See, most people go out there and find a job and then try to find a match inside. Do you see? There's billions of jobs, and you know, you can't look over the list and say, this one, you see? Because how do you know if it's available in your community? And I'm trying to be funny here. But you have to do it the other way around, which is to say, look, I don't know what it's going to look like out there. For example, when you go to have a child, you don't say, now look, God, I'm not going to create this child unless it looks like this and this and this and this. And that's not what you say. You say, I know with all my being I want a child. That's the thought. And then out there comes the particular child according to whatever is happening. The same thing is a child of a creation of your job or whatever it might be. Now, those of you who are unhappy in your choice of relationships, I'm sure that meets with certain people in this room too. All right. So these go together, all right?
Jobs and
love affairs, yes. I told you, half of the people come to me and say, how can I get out of my love affair? And the other half would come and say, how can I get into one? And I strongly just ask you to exchange positions for a while. We'll see what happens. All right. Now, in terms of love affairs, it goes concurrently with this other. There is a knowing in each one of you what it feels like for you to be in a state of one, feeling of love and wonder for another. That's one part of it, and that wondrous feeling, and how it would feel to have that sense from someone else. You know, do you understand? You know that. Now, if you wish to create in your life that feeling, if you state, I have to have a person out there to create it, then you're on your own. You'll have to work on that on your own. But if you want to create that wonderful state within you, that wonderful sense of knowing that love and that power and that wonder within your being, you can just very quietly, day by day, identify and strengthen that feeling tone that feels like when you are in total, full, and wondrous love for others. Now, out of that, you are much more likely to draw the compatible person into you rather than doing it the way you do now, which is the other way around. You say, oh, I'll take that one, and then try hammer them into shape. Oh, yeah, it's not quite right. I want this a little too much there. Carve a little off here. It's not quite right, dear. You know, just hold still, and I'll carve, and everything will be fine. You see, it's gone the other way around. You see, and that is a very hit-and-miss process, you see. And so what has to happen is that creating within you first, in a very deep, strong way, those feeling tones, those knowings, those realities, and arriving with them moment by moment in your life, how that is, and then outside it starts to manifest instead of the other way around. All right, this is the direct path. Otherwise, 10 lovers, 20 lovers, there you go, bang, bonk, bonk, down the road, trying to find, you know, and all of the time, it's all inside. Now, for some of you, you want the outer lover. For some of you, you don't. It doesn't matter which you pick. What you're looking for is the state. It's a state inside of you. And that is in your power to create independently, all alone, in the quiet and wonder of your own being, and you don't know anyone outside of yourself. If out of that someone comes, well and good. You may care, you may not care. Who knows? Do you see? Out of that mastery, you see, the point of mastery comes in, says, I am the master of what I choose to create. We're back to, excuse me, creating our own reality here. That consciousness to choose this kind of feeling tone about myself, about life, about other, whatever, and creating it with consciousness, empowering it moment after moment. And then the match comes. It comes to you from the outer, blending, and then you have it. An initiation is just a moment when a human being who is a teacher, who knows that he or she is equal to everyone else, pretends to be the leader. Did you get that? Someone who knows himself or herself to be perfectly equal, pretending to be the leader at a certain time, or the teacher, or the master, and then says, all right, certain ones of you, we are going to get together and we are going to make a direct statement that you are ready to move yourself to another state of consciousness. And so they get together, say in ones or twos or threes or fours, whatever it might be, and then the statement is made, and the consciousness of the person themselves opens themselves up. And it's not the teacher, it's just, you know, they say, oh, I'm ready. They open up and whoosh, and it happens. And they say, oh, thank you, teacher. And if it's a good teacher, it's going like this, laughing out of the other side of his or her face, realizing that all they've done is set the stage for this wonderful acceptance of the deep self to say, good, we're on to the next stage. We're on to the next stage. You see, but it's that outward sign. This is why I say don't, you know, some people are very anti-ritual because I see how ritual has entrapped many people's consciousness, but nevertheless, it's a magnificent thing. It's a magnificent thing. If you can develop your own rituals, each one of you separately for your own lives, you would find yourselves living a much more expanded life. Just the ritual of what do you do in the morning that when you arise that lets your whole being know, all right, we're moving into vastness today. We're going to step lightly on this earth. We are going to have our eyes ablaze. We are open and ready. Light and life and power are going to be alive today. What is your ritual for that? Is it brushing your teeth? You see? I'm being a little funny, but deeply serious. Which is, you know, ritual doesn't mean, bing, gonging, you know, whatever. That's not what I mean. What I really mean is out of this being. To some people, it's they get up and they stand outside and they go, oh, even unconsciously, their arms are starting to, they're looking around, what happened? Their arms, the sun, and so beautiful. They find themselves with their arms rising up and they think, oh, the neighbors going to think I'm strange, but nevertheless, it's almost unconscious. The arms go up to say, thank you, fill me, you know, this kind of thing. So, any kind of ritual that deeply reminds the totality that that is the intention of the day for your own soul, and each one of your rituals will be totally different. Some of you, those of you that jog, that's a wonderful ritual if done with that increased sense of who is jogging, and then feel the vastness jogging down the road, and you're just kind of going along with it. You know, there's all kinds of ways to use everything that you do. But to start the day with some kind of intention, and also at night, as you go into the sleep state, you know, you spend a lot of time asleep. And if you can find some kind of deep preparation, just quietly, it sets the intention for the night, but the openness of soul and what it is that you really want to feel in your being as night slips into your consciousness. These kinds of things make all things fuller. So that's what it is, the difference between initiation and ritual. All right? The days of initiation really may in some very interesting way come back, in that you will begin initiating each other, or yourselves, or find yourself going in groups of four and saying, let's go and do this. No leader, nobody. Let's go and do this. Let's stay up the whole night and let's do it. Let's do what we need to do. No, something. You think, gee, that's very Aboriginal. That comes out of the past. Yes, deeply out of that part of you that says it's important. An outward and visible sign of what you state is now, and then it comes out. All right? Yes. I think if you will deeply begin to understand what I mean by feeling, you'll see that we're talking about two totally different things. The kind of feeling that you get when other people give things to you is, if you're paying close attention, it comes from them. It's not from you. It comes from them. You hear the words, you feel the energy, and if you're very sensitive, as you can be, you feel it coming at you, and it's coming at you. You understand? It's coming. Now, at that moment, a very wondrous thing to do is to just to begin feeling porous. I mean, just that's it. Just begin to feel porous, which states that you're not going to collect it. You're not going to be the collector or the receiver. As your consciousness states, so will the body do. And if you just simply begin to feel very porous and ask for porousness, it'll begin to just rather slip through you in some interesting way. Now, when you begin, or if you do begin to do what I suggested, which is to start deeply falling into and feeling this other quality, which we're going to work with before we end today, you will realize I'm talking about something totally different than what you're receiving from your environment. There is a different quality of the divine power that I'm talking about that differentiates very, very clearly from the energy that people in the ego form give to each other. All right, now I'm not saying that God isn't present in the ego form. I am not saying that. But I'm saying, again, we come back, I'm so glad you came today so I can use these two analogies. So that we're talking about, if we can, the small wheel, which is all of you giving each other your information and help, and yes, help this, and I'd suggest this, and that's all going in on this level. Plus a total other kind of awareness that comes from that vaster. Now, if you wish to really help yourself, the moment that you're in the situation, at any time, even with somebody who's loving and adoring, or your cat or your dog or whatever, if you can remember what we said and begin to pull in and call on and be filled with that other wonder that we're talking about, you will not have any trouble. Because it will come in and it will almost dilute the quality, you know, it just dilutes what's happening in any moment. Another way of talking about it, you bring God consciousness, love, power, awareness into every moment, and then whatever's going on gets better without your having to differentiate in what way and how. You see, if you say that you just want to take the good and the bad, well, can you see how difficult that is? You're going to have to be on, right on the margin of consciousness, paying attention constantly, and I don't think you could maintain it. I think it would be a tremendous bore to have to sit there and say, is this good? I'll let it in. If it's bad, I'll send it back. You know, it's like doing the mail in the morning. Well, I don't like this one. You know, it would be very tedious, and you're much too creative to sit there and fuss with that. So, the thing to remember is that if you dilute the entire potion, the entire energy field with this other wonder, then all gets very, very gentle. It gets very easy, it gets very porous in its own way, and things just quietly sift down, all right? So without having to change anything, just remember to keep adding with as much power and as much frequency as you can, and that is, in the midst of talking, just call it in. Just say, now, and you'll begin to feel it. And that feeling that we will deal with at the end here, they just make it vaster and deeper and fuller and more aware. Build it to such an extent that it's just out there whenever you need it. And you'll find that it doesn't hurt anymore. Now, a lot of you have to deal with, say, parents that are older, that are perhaps getting crotchety and ill and dying and all of these things, or some kind of event that you really can't get away from. And number one rule, you can't go and shake your mother and say, stop it. Stop getting old, stop being decrepit, stop saying the same thing over and over, stop, stop, stop. It doesn't work. So what is the alternative? Anybody hearing this at all in the room? All right, good. So instead of trying to somehow change the other person and to shut them up and take a giant cork and stuff it in their mouth so you don't have to hear it, you know, that's not going to do much. But the answer is simply to bring volumes and volumes and volumes of this wondrous power into the situation, and it will dilute whatever's happening quickly. It just brings it in, and it dilutes whatever's happening, so it becomes very much lighter, and you don't have that same intensity. If you go into any situation saying, I don't like this, I want to change it, meaning changing them, it's hopeless. But if you go in and say, whatever is there, I'm going to bring this wondrous full quality of otherness to it, and then watch the difference happening before your eyes, it's magic. You have a capacity to dilute any kind of energy field that's coming at you by simply adding to the mix this wondrous feeling of accepting, letting go, and light, and power, and beauty. And all of a sudden, without you saying anything different, the situation begins to ease. Things just calm down. Release. Gentleness. The rate with which you reach that state of clarity, of God consciousness, really only depends on how many moments of your day, in this moment, you're bringing in what you want so that you can feel it in total abundance in the future. You build the future absolutely this moment, no question about it. That which you build today, you will experience tomorrow. That is the law. So, with this in mind, be good to yourselves, my friends, and build as powerful a feeling tone of what you want, and it will manifest 100-fold as you go down the line. All right. Basically is about pain, and if I could take the last issue, which is, here's the dilemma. This windy spook sits up here and says, today you're creating tomorrow by what you think, and at the same time it says, feel the pain. So then the obvious thought is, good heavens, if I'm feeling the pain today, then I'm creating more pain for myself tomorrow and ever more volumes of pain and suffering. All right, now, that is not what happens. What happens is this. You finally decide, you've been wandering around the labyrinth of life trying to find the way out. And there's all kinds of pains, as you've witnessed, mental, emotional, physical, there they are, all around. Well, if you're going to follow down each trail of each pain, you know it's endless and goes on forever and ever. So what happens? You finally decide, I'm going back to the Lord Buddha again. All right, the Lord Buddha sits down, he says, enough of this, enough of this. I mean, he had plenty of physical pain. Plenty of physical pain. St. Francis, I mean, we have endless people. Ramana Maharshi, we could go on and on and on. I mean, physical pain is a quality of consciousness that manifests at certain times. All right, so they sit down and they say, all right, given all of this, what do I do? Now, in that moment of sitting down, by that I mean resting, stopping, acknowledging it stops here. What's here is here, and I'm going to acknowledge what's here. The bubbling up, as we did this morning in the first part of our exercise, the bubbling up and allowing the fear to bubble up, allowing the pain to bubble up, and being conscious of it, and giving it a name if you can, so that you understand it. In the very bubbling up is the beginning of the release. I ask you to remember that. I ask you to really remember that part of what we did, which is in the bubbling up and it's coming up with the desire to let it go. That is all part of the process, and then it begins on its own without you having to shove it out the door. It begins to go. Now, anything that's chasing you will chase you over and over and over and over again until you sit down and face it. You know this. So, don't be afraid. Just realize as it comes up in the consciousness with your intention to let it go, you understand that, then it just begins to go on its own. Over. What is the fear? Define it as best you can. Understand it. And if you're paying attention, the moment that you felt the fear and defined it, it's already begun to shift. It doesn't feel the same anymore. Acknowledge fear, acknowledge pain. Let's talk about physical pain. Physical pain is a state of dis-ease, something in you that is blocked. If you can go to the pain and begin to feel it, to feel its shape and its size and its color and its heaviness and what it's all about, to give it a name, to really acknowledge it, to hear it, to begin to have a rapport with it in a very intimate way, it then begins to let go. It will just start to let go and let go and let go. Things just begin to wind down around it. But it takes that focused kind of awareness. Now, Mr. Moore feels that, what is the name of that book?
Focusing?
Focusing by?
Gendlin.
Would you spell that for me, please?
I think it's G-E-N-D-L-I-N.
All right, G-E-N-D-L-I-N, something like this. And the name of the text is Focusing. It presents a way to do this that Mr. Moore has found extremely helpful. I present that to you as an alternative. If you pay attention to the steps, you can get in touch with and let go all of those things that are stuck in the consciousness. All right? It's based on the very basic belief and truth that the body holds something until you consciously say, let go. But the minute that you say let go, it lets go. It lets go. But if you don't stop, you can't just stop and say, all right, all pain, let go. I mean, the body doesn't know quite how. Then we start our disintegration process over here. Doesn't know what to do. Let go of what? Breathing, pumping blood, let go of what? What? You know, then it, that's, you see, but when it's as specific as it can be, then it begins to do it. Especially, well, you'll see. I suggest the text to you then. And if you can begin to work with it, with different people, you'll begin to see, and then it's, and then it becomes a way of life. Acknowledging the fear, the pain, the tension, out of it, acknowledging, hearing, feeling, letting it go, moving on to the next life, which is the next moment, moment after moment after moment. All right? The question is, what are some of the feeling tones of thank you very much, of this existence that we have chosen to call Bartholomew? There's no such thing as Bartholomew. And it's just a word that used. We can't keep on saying, hey, you. I mean, it would do as well. But, or hey, that, or hey, it, or something like that. The difficulty is that most of the words that you have used and brought forward for human understanding are based on a body and life in a body and the perceptions out of that realm. And they don't fit. The things that do fit are things like a sense of no limitation at all, and at the same time, a sense of being. Understand? That's a sense of no limitation whatsoever, but a incredibly delightful, powerful sense of being. So those of you that are afraid to become enlightened for fear that you will just explode into the void and then be splattered against the wall of voidness and that's it, if that's out there, I haven't found it. What I have found is the total expansion and at the same time a wondrous delight in what you in human terms would call my being. There's no such my but being. And then there's the, your eyes are a limitation for seeing. Your eyes limit your seeing a lot, as you will find the moment that you move out of body consciousness. So then there is the seeing of, the best I can come to it is a universal ocean of motion and power and color and sound. Just, it's a universal ocean moving in on sweeps of itself at all times, in ever expanding. And at the same time, for those that are frightened of that, there is that sense of being.
Collective and individual simultaneously.
Yes, that will do. Yes, certainly. Some of you are afraid to let go into the vastness for fear that you are going to just go on and on and on forever and how terrifying. And that is there. But that wondrous being that participates in it all is also there. Look. Let us postulate an immense wave of power and beauty and wonder just there. And one small particle of that wave incarnates, and then another one does, and another one, another one, another one, and so on. So you can say that there has been incarnation happening. But you cannot say, this is a tricky difference, you cannot say that I have incarnated. I'm sorry to be, you understand? So there is that wondrous being, and small parts have experienced incarnation. Now, this is precisely who you are. There's nobody different up here. All right? Difference, you are at this instant pretending that you are only that little piece that's incarnating, but you're only pretending because the instant that that is finished, then you move back into and become a part of, again, consciously, that entire wave of consciousness that is your real beingness. And so when you move into incarnation, you say, look, I'm going to agree to forget that. It's rather like this. If you have a credit card that has billions and billions of dollars behind it, and go into the slums with it in your back pocket and act out the life of the poverty-stricken, you are not going to experience the poverty-stricken, are you? I mean, are you? You can't. You can't, because you know that in your back pocket, whenever things get too rough, you can say, well, dear, enough of this. I'm going to the next, what is it, Citibank? Is that whatever it is? I'm going to cash in my card. I don't know these words, but something like this. So in order to have that experience of being the impoverished one real, you cannot have it in your back pocket. All right. Now, in truth, you all have it in your back pocket. But you've chosen to forget so that you can, do you understand? So that you can really experience this. Otherwise, it would be silly. You see? So, you forget. You say, no, I don't have, I'm not all of that. I'm just this little thing moving around this world, and this is it. But you see, the minute that that's ended, the minute that it's appropriate, then that subsides and back into the motion of the one. All right. Do you understand about the credit card? You know, you couldn't really participate with full-bodied power with it in your back pocket. Now, one who decides to awaken is one who decides, I am tired of living here in poverty and I want to experience my endless bank account. That's what I want to experience now. And that's the choice. And then you just choose to awaken, to remember who you are, to remember what it is you have, who you are, where you came from, what home is and what you are a part of, and then the game just becomes very different. And then you move back into the wave of the createdness, and there you are. But at the same time, in the midst of this incredible vastness, there is that wondrous sense of I. If there was such a thing as to go to the heart of God itself, it would say, I, in some very special way. Now, we're way out there, but nevertheless, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In the midst of the greatest insanity that anyone experiences on this planet, in the midst of that insanity, there is a sense of I. I am experiencing this. I am undergoing that. I. The I is present. One of the most delightful parts of this kind of consciousness is the ability to just spread yourself as vast as you want and then to become as small as you want. We won't talk any more about that, but that's great fun. You know, if you want to talk about a good time, beat surfing. To just be everywhere and then just to be very much here and then to be everywhere and then to be very much here. Thank you. A lovely one has been, I'm glad you asked a question. I just wanted to talk to you, that's all. been reading, I like your word, stuff. Been reading stuff about a hierarchy of extraterrestrials and or disembodied ones in the Earth and outside of the Earth that are guiding the progress of the Earth. And what is the perception of it. Now, look, I don't talk about archangels, not because they don't exist, but because in reality, the most exciting thing that you can do in your life, in your incarnate pattern, is to get in touch with your deep self, your deep self. That is what brings the deepest upwelling of safety. There are people who have seen the great divas, the great archangels. They're there, and they have seen them. But then they go, and then there's that knowing that they're there. But unless somehow that entity has developed a touching to their own deep self, they're still going to be in a state of fear, sometimes even greater fear. Because if you've ever really seen an archangel, they are big. An archangel is a vast energy source. Vast. And unless you're very sure of yourself and very sure of your goodness and your purity and your wonder, you're going to think, oh my goodness, that is quite a lot of purity and goodness and wonder, and I wonder how I'm going to match up. You see, the minute that you do this, the judgment goes in, because you're always comparing. You know, you compare yourself to everything. And if you saw an archangel, you would start comparing yourself to that. And I think that every chance is, almost every one of you would say, oh dear, I don't think so. I don't think I'm quite that vast. You see, that comes into it. All right, now, of course they're there. Of course they are there. Look, the whole thing is a matter of energy. And there are certain vortexes of energy that are your own, particular wonder, beauty, and spherical nature. Swirling as a part of that pattern is the whole swirl of mankind. You know, the whole energy field of mankind is an incredibly vast energy source. Huge. Immense. All of your beingnesses together, marvelous. And then on top of that, and surrounding it and swirling through it, we have the devas, or the angels, whatever you want to call them. And then as a part of their being, we go even faster. We get into the hierarchy of the great archangels, who are called that because they seem to form an arc. They seem to be, you know, in those, net? In the Egyptian, Nut, she's seen forming this wonderful arc over the world and so on. It's that kind. They have as part of their being this arc, and that's why they're called literally archangels, not in the sense of, well, never mind. But but the words are very hard. But they are there. And they hover with, not by smothering, but they hover in a wondrously compassionate way. Now, I don't talk about them, because they're hard to reach. Their job is not to become intimate with you. They are here to do their job, which is to do their best to harmonize the energy to whatever extent they can, to give as much information as they can to you, but they give it to you through your deep self. They don't give it to you to your conscious mind. If Archangel Michael came and talked in your ear, you would be flat. I mean, flat. It would have to come down through an hierarchy, all right, in a descending order. And where it reaches mankind is through your deep self or your high self, whichever one. So it is clear from our side of things that if you become more and more alive and aware of your own deep self, then all of that wonder and prompting and urging from all those other swirls of energy are going to be easily heard to you. Do you understand? So yes, they're there. Now, we don't need to go into the ones in the middle of the earth and in the night. There's some in the mountains and there's some here and there's some there. I will tell you something. If you think you can project, you should see how those archangels can project. They can project their awareness anywhere they want. To the center of the earth and be observed there, into the great mountains, into the sea, anywhere. They have the power of the projection of their consciousness. They are not limited. This is why I just said one of the great delights is feeling the vastness and then the smallness of things. See? Now, the operative delight of all this is you are not alone. You have never been alone. You could never be alone. This planet is being guided with as much compassion and prompting as is possible. And the only job left as a human consciousness with all of that available, it seems to me, is to begin to blend, as we began this morning, with connecting up with that part of you that is the receiver of all that wonder. If you receive it as Archangel Michael, then you have received it that way, and it's valid. But to try to reach Archangel Michael, which might not be the shortest path for you, or anyone, But if that's what the soul wants, then by all means pursue it. It's all there. They are there. Not like the human psyche would see it and feel it, but they are there. In endless, wondrous power fields. Wonderful. People who say that they hear Archangel Michael usually have heard someone representing that great strand of consciousness, no doubt about it. This is how people keep saying, well, how can there be so many Saint Germains? Saint Germain seems to be, you know, being received by a lot of people at this time. Makes good sense. Makes good sense to me. My job is different. My job is to just keep reminding you. The deep self has it all in it. And if you can just find yourself connecting with that endlessly, moment after moment, all the rest will be added unto you in whatever way you need it. All right. The basic fear of man is to feel other energies for fear that they will be lost in the great vastness of God, that somehow you'll be lost. And then, in good humor, he says, what I hear you saying is, go ahead and mix it up. Yes. Not only that, my friend, but mix it up with all of the others. Like this lovely lady asks about the archangels, you can begin to mix that up too, letting the angelics in. The plant kingdom, the minerals, all of it, just to be willing to begin to mix it up. To not have to have that sense of human isolation and, what is the phrase in the Bible, that you have dominion over the earth? Is that what it is? A very interesting statement, and one that can keep you very lonely and very isolated and very fearful. If you've looked at the state of the world, your dominion isn't doing very well from the point of view of not being able to get along with your own species and also having a lot of trouble keeping the earth in harmony. All right? Now, you don't have dominion over the earth. It's not your full responsibility. It isn't. No need to feel guilty about any of that. All that is understood is there has been a coming together of a lot of energies, and the more that you open up and say, fill me, I want to learn, I want to know, just teach me, the more expanded you will become and the safer you will feel and the more at home. You see, man walks around and you feel least at home of all of the creations. You don't feel at home. And it's because you've isolated yourself. And if you can let your boundaries start to drift, then you're going to begin to feel at home in many, many, many different places all around. Now, you who live here are in perfectly very harmonious state of consciousness. So I can see how it'd be easy to gently drift out here. Those of you who live in Los Angeles, who does? Anyone still? No. In different places like that, there is fear. There is fear of letting themselves, but they have to go ahead and try it anyway. They'll be amazed what they'll find. Wonderful things. So yes, my friend, that would be my suggestion. Mix it up as much as you can. You see, you're either just one or everybody's lied to you. There's either only one or all of those great ones have told you a whopping great lie. And the oneness is not experienced in the mind. It's experienced in the feeling. In the first days of the planet, I'll just do this quickly for those of you who need to move on here, but in the first days of the forming of this planet, stop and think of the incredible job of trying to take this incredible force field and get it slow enough so humans could live on it. Think about it. We are talking about a vortex of energy that is moving with such incredible power, and suddenly we say we've got to slow this down because we've got to have humans, we've got to have dogs and cats and birds, and we've got to get this ocean to stay down and not fly away. We have these trees to get rooted. We've got to get the soil and the rocks so they're not, you know, bouncing around the heavens. We've got to get this thing together. And in that coming together of when the energies was being slowed down and slowed down, that is when all of those ones that you call, what do you call them in your history? Oh dear, you have a name for them. The giants.
The Cyclops.
The Cyclops. They made, you know, the Cyclops with one eye, they made them into terrible things. But they were incredible beings with a single eye, only because their eye was single. They weren't hideous and horrible and awful. But their job was to slow it down. Slow it down. You're moving too fast. Get it slower. So it gets it slower and slower, so everything just settles down and settles down. And that didn't happen just by the planet. It happened by all this amazing energy just covering around it and pushing in on it. Slow it down. And all of that wisdom, power, wonder went into the earth. Do you understand? It didn't just... When you make a loaf of bread with your hands, a part of you is on that loaf of bread. Absolutely goes into it when you're doing the kneading and so on. By the same way, when those great ones were slowing this planet down, the wonder of what they had in their energy field went into it as well, and it's still here. That's not interesting to some of you, but nevertheless, it's a great deal of fun. I just thought I'd throw that in. Which means that it's all still alive. You know, this planet is as it was created by the amazing great powers. Great powers. And it's all here. This planet experiences itself as filled with all of that wonder, of those amazing energy fields that participated in the forming of and the slowing down of this energy vortex that you call Earth. It delights in it. Just as you delight in your feeling of God awareness, so does it delight in its feeling of that which created it, which is not different from what created you, just a different way. It's a little different. Just a little different. It's a wondrous thing, you know, going on here. A wondrous thing. Let's be as clear as we can in answer to the question, which is how, what you call, how do I perceive you? The only way that this can be answered is to say that when Mary Margaret and I are working together, that means when their energies are joined in one moment of power, what is experienced is nothing but moving light. It takes, the reason a vehicle such as Mary Margaret needs to be used is to slow it down so I can see you. So I can define this from that, from that, from that. Without this, I couldn't, do you understand? There are lots, all of your high selves are seeing things totally, but in order to slow it down a little so that we can have this kind of communication, we have to use something to take it and slow it down, so it just slowed down enough so that there's a differentiation between, because there's only one. So when the physical body comes into play, then things get slowed down enough so that things can be sensed in a different way. But what is present constantly is just moving light that flows in and out of form, that just flows in and out of form. And it's very hard to hang on to things too long, because they just start to go. This is why there has to be always remind me, because when it's gone, it's gone. It flows through it and it's done. See? So this kind of thing, moving light, moving power. Which is the way it is. So then let us remember what we came to do. Today was the day of the letting go of the past. When you arise tomorrow with the coming of the sun, as you move through the day when so many of humankind is seeking and reaching, as you move through that day and on to the night of the next, all of these moments, my friends, to the best of your ability, please remember to nourish that feeling that you have selected that represents that state of being that you want for yourself. That seed, that wonder, that feeling tone will be filled, nourished, expanded by the energies of the next day and night and day. But that is not the end of it. Because when those days are gone beyond the rim of night, things still are present. The power remains. As the months move to the double of eight, to the 88, please understand that the double of eight, the 88, is whatever is present magnified, doubled. Eight. If you were to select a holy number, eight doubled. So please, my friends, as you move into the year of the doubled eight, realize that whatever is present in you in the year of 88 will be doubled. So please make sure that you are doubling that which you deeply wish. Use what is left of the 87 to create a constant feeling memory of what it is that you wish. Why is it possible that so many will enter their dream bodies? Why is it possible? Because in the doubling of the eight, of the 88, many things will come to pass. It is your opportunity. I am very grateful to all of you for coming today. And most of all, I am grateful for the power that you have generated. I'm grateful for the ability to take this power, whatever you do not need, because you have generated a great deal of it, and take it to those places on this earth where it is badly needed. For that gift given out of you to be sent to those who do not have the awareness of how to generate the light, I thank you. And it is my promise that it will be taken to a place of shadow and given as a gift from you. And I thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you.